Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. The revolution in Yemen took off the ground in 2011, and many consider what is happening currently a sign that the revolution is continuing to evolve and gaining in momentum. Last month, the Houthis and their supporters took over the capital city, Sana'a, and pressured the government due to what the Houthis call was corruption and sidelining people inside of the country. Now, Al-Qaeda-linked groups are clashing with the Houthis as the Houthis continue to gain in popularity and power. Stay with us as we take a look at the latest situation on the ground in Yemen.
Houthis are consolidating their control over Yemen after clearing more regions in the south of Al-Qaeda offshoots. The Houthi fighters, known as Ansarullah, have pushed out the Al-Qaeda militants out of the town of Yarim, some 170 kilometers south of the capital Sana'a. The town was considered a stronghold of Al-Qaeda militants. Ansarullah are already in control of Rada in Baida province. They'd been sending reinforcements to the south near Al-Qaeda strongholds in an attempt to drive the terrorists out of the area. Houthis now control 9 provinces and now have access to the Red Sea. The Houthi fighters are said to have captured the territories with little effort. They say they have met no resistance in most areas, and they attribute this to what they see as their popularity among the majority of Yemeni people. The Yemenis are said to be fed up with the government, which they regard as inefficient and lackeys of the Saudi regime. They also mistrust Al-Qaeda militants, whom they deem as terrorists. The rising power of the Ansarullah revolutionaries has made the Saudi officials stop any attacks against the stronghold of Houthis in Yemen, as according to observers, it fears an uprising by people in 3 former Yemeni provinces, which Riyadh annexed in 1934. Saudi Arabia, along with the US, is notorious among Yemenis now more than ever before. Many in Yemen believe this is said to stem from their role to hijack the Yemeni revolution of 2011 in favor of Riyadh and Washington. They achieved this goal by bringing about a transition of power from former ruler Ali Abdullah Saleh to current ruler Abd Rabbu Mansur Hadi, who is also seen as a remnant of the Saleh regime.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. I'd like to start off actually with, we have Dr. Randy Short out of Washington. And we're going to start off with Dr. Randy Short, actually. Dr. Short, how significant is what we are seeing in your perspective, sir?
In my perspective, you're seeing two things happen. Within Yemen itself, you're seeing an order that has been dominated by the machinations of the Saudis and its allies losing full control. And as much as they've distanced themselves from the Islamic Brotherhood, as well, they are no longer liked by many of the people in Yemen. And then domestically within Saudi Arabia, where you have huge numbers of people whose border was drawn across their unity, 90% of one group, Al-Qaeda, which the Houthis are drawn from, is in Saudi Arabia, you're seeing the beginnings of a popular movement to bring down the Saud, House of Saud. I mean, it's inevitable. And it's interesting, you may even see a reemergence of Shia Islam in the Hadhramaut region within Saudi Arabia, which means you'll have two parts of Saudi Arabia, the Persian Gulf region, which is aflame, where they have a cleric unjustly held that they want to execute. And then you're going to have the emergence of a Shia movement on the south eastern part of Saudi Arabia. It's incredible.
And all right, well, stay with me, Dr. Short. Stay with me, Dr. Short. I want to get in our next guest out of San Francisco, Mr. Lee Kaplan, investigative journalist. Thanks so much for being with us. Mr. Kaplan, the situation you've just heard Dr. Short explain in his perspective, the significance of what is going on. I'd like to hear from you as far as how you analyze the events that are taking place now on the ground in Yemen.
Well, Mirzia, I find that it's a no-win situation for the people of Yemen in the region. I mean, I've never been a fan of the Saudis, and one of the things that's left out in the equation in your report is Iran has been busy having IRGC consultants and the Hezbollah involved with helping the Houthi forces to fight the government. Needless to say, there's a question of whether the United States is even going to keep a dog in this fight, because on the one side, you have the Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, who is certainly no friend of America, and America's not interested in supporting. At the same time, Iranian influences with IRGC and Hezbollah advisors advising the Houthi and attacking the Saudis. So this is something where I think the United States really needs to sit this one out. The Houthis have been very successful. Dr. Short is right about that. They took Hobadiah, which is the second largest port in Yemen, and now they have access to the Red Sea, and they, of course, can import weapons to continue the war and continue the fighting, which is to nobody's advantage.
Okay, well, Mr. Kaplan, let me look at a couple of things that you've said, sir. First of all, you accuse Iran of being involved and IRGC being involved and Hezbollah being involved. Do you see any involvement? First of all, I want to get your perspective why you think they're involved, and do you see any involvement at all by Saudi Arabia?
Unquestionably. I mean, let's face it, the Saudis are involved, for a Salafist and Sunni point of view, and the Iranians are involved to promote Shiism. For the people of Yemen, I don't see an advantage with either side. I believe that the Houthis, of course, are going to push for Sharia law in the country, which we're seeing the result of Sharia law with the ISIS, for example, how that affects the average.
All right, Dr. Short, let me get back to you in Washington. Now we have everything from Sharia law to Hezbollah and IRGC being involved in Yemen. Is it about Iran, or is it about a group of people that have been sidelined and oppressed and are trying to strive for their rights in their own country? How do you see it, Dr. Short?
The Saudis have marginalized through the Saleh government that they manipulated, because there's a unification of southern Yemen with northern Yemen in 1990, and the Saudis helped Saleh's government have the upper hand on Badeh's faction, and they've neglected the people in the south since the 90s, and the people are tired. And I want to remind Mr. Kaplan that the Saudis practice Sharia, and so do several other countries in the Gulf Cooperation Council. So why would Sharia be good for the Saudis and wrong for the Yemenis if this is what they want? And as far as Iran goes, if we're going to talk about the Sharia, the distortion of it that's being pushed by the Saudis' satellites, ISIL and ISIS and Daesh, who are corrupting Islam to murder people and violate it. They're called takfiris. These are people who don't even respect the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or the Quran, or the Sharia. Iran is actually facing, along with Iraq, as is Syria, threats from this weaponized false Islam that Saudi Arabia is pushing. Now back to Iran, if it can bring peace to the area through diplomatic ways, in a way like what it was able to do with Lebanon through helping partners in the region, why stop them? Okay. Because we've seen Saudi Arabia invaded Yemen in 1934. They were involved 1962 to 67. They were involved in another thing from 67 to 76. And then they've tried to start a civil war within Yemen in 1994. So Saudi Arabia has very dirty, bloody, corrupt hands.
Well, Mr. Kaplan, stay with me, Dr. Short. Mr. Kaplan, looking at the situation right now, basically now the Al-Qaeda groups, back groups, are actually the ones that are fighting the Houthis. Why wouldn't you be for Al-Qaeda being crushed in Yemen and elsewhere in the world?
That's a good question.
Okay, well, something's just been distorted about what I said. Of course, the Saudis are involved with promoting Sharia law also, and as I said at the beginning of the show, this is of no advantage to the West and the United States, because you have the choice between one bad government and one movement on one side and the same thing on the other. Now, why is there a threat from Iran on this? Well, Al-Qaeda, of course, is a threat to the Saudi regime in the sense that Al-Qaeda is trying to overthrow the Saudi regime, which at least would be friendly towards the West. However, I don't know what good friends the Saudis would be for us. I think they've outlived any kind of constructive usefulness.
No, sir, my question, Mr. Kaplan, excuse me, my question.